Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 37 as we get into this incredible text this afternoon. Now, we do have notes for you. If you've not received those, if you'd lift a hand, the ushers will bring that to you. That is to help you. We need some notes in the center, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Some hands going up there. Wonderful. Hands everywhere. All right. Thank you so much for notes. And go ahead and fill those in as we move along. It's the start of a brand new series. And generally speaking, we are expository. I'm an expository preacher and teacher with a thematic approach. I learned that from my pastor, Dr. James Morocco, who will again be here on the weekend of the 18th. Because I just believe that the text, I want the text to speak louder than anything else. I've got other styles and default settings. I've forced myself into this because I want you to learn the word. Genesis 37. So a powerful series, and we're going to read the text in the New Living Translation. Stand up on your feet if you're able. Let's read God's word this morning. This afternoon. Here we go. Genesis 37 and verse 1, 11 verses of scripture. Here we go. Ready? Set? Let's go. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers and sons of his father's wives. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. Everybody say that he had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We're out in the field tying up bundles of grain, said Joseph. Suddenly, my bundles stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so, you think you'll be king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them. Verse 9. So Joseph had another dream. Come on, everybody say he had another dream. Another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. Quote, listen, I've had another dream. And he said, the sun, moon, 11 stars bowed low before me. This time, he told the dream to his father as well as his brothers. But his father scolded him. Quote, what kind of dream is that? He said, will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are the King of all. Receive maximum glory as I preach your word. Move in power as you did in the first service. Now in this service, may we be forever changed. Release living understanding and revelation that causes a revolution. Let every man, woman, child be brought low. All those online, those listening in the future, mark us, O God, with truth so that we could fulfill, so that we could live the dream. In Jesus' name, shout amen. Turn to three or four people and say, I'm living the dream. Go ahead, tell them. Tell the person next to you, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. That phrase is actually the title of our next conference in the Hawaiian Islands. But we got it long before we knew that was going to be the name of the next conference. The name of the next conference in Hawaii is Living the Dream. It happens in about 4 weeks or something like that. It's a phrase that I've used for quite a while. Somebody said, well, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm living the dream. And I do feel like that. It's a humbling thing to know that you're in the perfect will of God. It's a humbling thing to know that you're in the middle of the perfect will of God, living the dream, I call it. Every single person here has a dream that God has for you. Your dream might not be his dream, but the key is in your life is to line your life up with what his dream of your life is. Everyone here has a divine assignment. Everyone here has a purpose. Everyone here has been called by God. Everyone here has been chosen by God. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, he chose you. In fact, I've entitled this message, he chose you anyway. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, simply put, I wouldn't have picked me. Shoot, I wouldn't have picked some of you either. Aren't you glad I'm not the picker? But God has chosen us. He chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You all have notes? Media team, you got notes? Good, let's move on. What kind of family were you raised in? What kind of family were you raised in? He said, my family's highly dysfunctional. Well, welcome to the human race. So was your family dysfunctional? Yeah. How about your family that you raised with Pastor Karen? Was that dysfunctional too? Yes. He said, well, you're our pastor. Yes, I'm honest also. Every family is dysfunctional at some level. Come on now. Come on, be honest now. Every family's got issues. Oh, not you. Okay. You've that incredible pride problem. It's like bad breath. You're the last one to know. I'm telling you, if you don't think you had a problem in your family, newsflash, because that is common to human being a human being. Is we have challenges in our families. Generational brokenness. Many struggle with what's now commonly understood as a dysfunctional family. And it's not unusual, as I said. Now, there's dysfunctional families throughout Scripture. Here's a high level of dysfunction in this family, right here. Joseph's family, dysfunctional. Many were raised in homes that had issues. David's family, King David. David, they didn't even invite David. Was not even invited when the prophet. Weather patterns changed when Samuel showed up. And they didn't even invite him in to be part of the sacrifice. And he was the one that God chose. Some say that he was a product of an illicit relationship. We don't really know. But it says of the Psalms, David said, I was conceived in sin. So there's some view there that he was the youngest, the ruddy one. He was the one that was not included when the prophet came because dysfunction. Dysfunction. Jesus had a dysfunctional family. No, Jesus had everything perfect. No. How many of you have a 12-year-old? Lift your hand. 12, 11, 12, or 13. Okay, do you know where they are? Do you know where your 12-year-old is? Yes or no? Okay, well, they lost Jesus at 12 years old. So we talk about, oh, Jesus didn't cover a dysfunctional family. Now, you can look, and culturally, there are some things there that they traveled as a group, and so they didn't realize maybe he was with auntie or uncle, and he's with a group, and like they didn't realize that Jesus is not there. They moved on, and they're on the way home, and they're like, they realize he's not there. So they run back, and they find Jesus, 12 years old, blowing the minds of all the religious people at the temple. And he said, did you not know that I was about my father's business? So at a base level, there was misunderstanding. They didn't know who he was. Dysfunction. Let's look at the text. Brief history of Joseph's family. Jacob, Joseph's father, deceived his brother Esau and stole his birthright. Nice. You ever ripped off your brother? Don't raise your hand. He ripped off his brother. He deceived him, totally tricked him with the help of his mother. Jacob married two rival sisters, Rachel, That's Joseph's mother and Leah, along with concubines. The family included 12 sons. 12 sons and one daughter, Dinah. How many of you know the story of Dinah? It's tragic. It's a tragic story. Dinah, who suffered a tragic violence of rape. So we're looking at a family here in the Bible that had many, many issues. Reuben, the oldest, slept with his father's concubine, his father's wife, fracturing trust even further. And Joseph stood out as Jacob's favorite. There's this favoritism that takes place. And yet God has a dream for Joseph. And God had a dream for every one of the 12. Those are the tribes of Israel. This is a powerful text. Jacob favors Joseph. Now, if you go and you look in the Hebrew and you dig this out, you mine this out, you learn a couple of things. One, he's 17 years old, but he's immature. In fact, the Hebrews text says he's 17, but he was young. He was a young 17-year-old. In other words, he was not a mature man. He was young. But also, the Midrash and different rabbinic scholars talk about him having a special intelligence and a special gifting, and his father noted that. And he gave him this robe, this symbol of privilege and prophetic destiny. And you can see that that's something that would belong literally to a leader. Now, because of Reuben's failure, really they believe, rabbinic scholars believe that Joseph became the family leader, even though that he was younger than all the rest. Dysfunctional family. Joseph was hated by his brothers. Because Joseph reported their wrongdoing to his father. He was a snitch. Now, I don't even like saying that because I'm a snitch. It just sounds like being a snitch it's like you're a goody two-shoes. So being pure, being a virgin, being holy, being righteous is called a goody two-shoes. Yeah, you need to change your vocabulary because being pure, being a virgin, being holy, being righteous is something that's commendable before the sight of God. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? So don't ever call somebody a goody two-shoes. And let me just tell you, if you do something wrong, I'll bust you in a second. And that's the way I live. We should all live openly before God, and we should be accountable to each other. Somebody said, oh my gosh, you mean you'd run me over? Absolutely. I'd not only throw you over the bus, I would drive the bus. Why? Because I'm not trying to be righteous and try to prove something, but live rightly before God. So when sin is exposed, it needs to be confronted. And it's done the right way. Matthew 18, confront one another. Don't put it on Facebook. I know some of you didn't hear that part. In Matthew 18, it doesn't say post their sin on Facebook. Or Instagram. Tell your sister and brother bucket mouth so they can tell everybody. No. Everybody say no. Yeah, but there's confrontation. So Joseph, certainly being younger and immature, should have confronted his brothers, but they already hated him. So he goes and he tells his dad. So they didn't like him for that. Have you ever been told on by your brother or sister? How many of you were told on your brother or sister? How many ever lied? How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask? Okay. So Joseph reported to the father what they did wrong. And Joseph was hated by his brothers because their brothers felt rejected by their father. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt rejected. I have. Rejection is a painful thing. We'll talk about that in a moment. Joseph receives two dreams, and he shared them. And he shared them in a way that wasn't exactly encouraging to his brothers. But number one, he believed they were from God. His brothers hated him because he shared the two dreams and said, you're going to bow down to me. And then Jacob, the second dream, Jacob doesn't hear the first dream, but he hears the second dream, and Jacob rebukes Joseph. But he pondered what Joseph was what Joseph said concerning the dreams. The reason he pondered is, understand in Hebrew that when God gives two things, one right after another, saying basically the same thing, it's evidence. It's the two dreams in succession were God's way of saying, this will happen. As they change my screen, say that. This will, two dreams in succession, thank you, were God's way of saying, this will happen. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, this will happen. The dream that God has for you is profound. And if he didn't have a dream for you, you wouldn't be breathing right now. He has a dream. And the dream isn't just to save you. The dream isn't just to forgive you of your sin. The dream, the hope, the plan, the assignment is beyond anything you can see with your natural eye. Joseph had no idea what God was going to do. He had no idea, but this succession of dreams was God saying, it's going to happen. Seemingly impossible in this family of dysfunction, all this craziness and brothers who hate you. Wow. God is speaking to us this morning. We tend to pass our dysfunction on to the next generation. We tend to pass our dysfunction on to the next generation if we're not careful. Now, in the Bracken family, and I mean my immediate family with Pastor Karen and my children, we worked very hard. We worked very hard not to pass on things that were passed to us. And we were aware of some of those things, and other things were just so ingrained that we didn't even know we were passing them on. I hate that. Those have been confronted, and people have been healed, people being my children have been healed. And we've been healed. If you're not careful, you'll pass on that anger problem there, Bubba. You ever heard that phrase? Well, I got a short fuse like my father. Yeah, it's still not godly. So like your father, you should get rid of your short fuse and get healed. You have patience. Come on, patience is fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have it, you need to get it. Come on, somebody say, get some. Now, don't just accept and swallow stuff just because that's the way your family was. Don't ever use that as an excuse. And don't graft yourself into the generational sin, iniquity, sickness, disease. Even though you go to the doctor like, well, did your mother ever have it? Did your father have it? Oh, well, you have a, don't even tell me I have a propensity for that. I have new blood. I have the blood of the Lamb flowing through me. Come on, somebody say amen. That's where my faith's at. It's an interesting thing. And put that up again, the dysfunction thing. What's interesting about it, if you go and take fleas, there's an experiment. I saw it on Reels, and I was going to post it, but there's copyright. And so we'll honor that, of course. If you take fleas, a flea. Anybody know what a flea is? Yeah, like a flea, like on a dog, fleas. You take fleas, and you put them in a jar. And you put the jar on a counter, those fleas will jump out of the jar. However, if you put a lid on the jar and you leave it for 3 days, those fleas only go as high as the lid. And if you take the lid off after 3 days, they will not jump out of the jar because they learned about the limitation. And then if you take those fleas and empty them out, they will not go outside of that jar. They form the jar. Get this. Their offspring, the little baby fleas, they learn about the limitation from their flea parents. And you have generations that live within this little jar, never coming. That is the way it can be in your family. And just because your family hasn't seen it happen before doesn't mean that God can't do it in you. Just because you might come from a high level of dysfunctional alcoholics or drug addicts or broken, addicted, bound people, a bunch of idol worshipers, doesn't mean you have to stay in that place. You can be healed. You can be free. You can fulfill the dream. You just have to get the word of God in you. Come on. You just have to get the word. You got to learn the word. You got to speak the word. Learn to share it. Change the way that you think. It's called renewing your mind. The power of the Spirit. God is able to change you. Lift your hands to heaven. Don't pass on dysfunction. And if it's been passed on to you, get healed. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to live the dream. How do you get healed, Pastor? Keep coming and hearing messages like this. Get involved in church. Learn the word. Develop relationship with people. Listen, if I did anything stupid, Pastor Karen's all over me in a second. She's going to rebuke me instantaneously when half of it's coming out of my mouth. If I was to say something like, I don't know. I don't even know how to say anything stupid. I've been corrected so many times. But I do occasionally say things that are not on the beam. And she'll say, "That you have an attitude." You know, you need people like that. I'm so thankful for my staff. I'm so thankful for relationships that'll speak truth. So God's warning us here. Treat your family members with love and respect. Treat them right. Come on, somebody say, treat them right. He said, well, you don't know what they did. No, I don't, but I do know what Jesus did. And because he said, they're totally unhonorable. They are not honorable. Yeah, but you are honorable. And God is honorable. And God saved you so you can behave honorable even though what they do is not honorable. It doesn't mean you let them come on in, if I could use a King James, roughshod, and eat your lunch. There's boundaries. There's some people that I don't have close to me. They're dangerous. What are you talking about? I'm just saying there's people that you don't have on your inner circle. And some of them might be your family. I'm not feeling the love over there, Pastor Hank. Not feeling it. How many of you know what I'm talking? Some of you are afraid to raise your hand. I understand with that anger problem that she has. Little witch. Oh, did that sting? Let me step in it just a little bit more. If you try to control people with your anger, you're a little warlock picking on the men now. You try to, if anybody just steps in your thing, you lead with anger. Show me a place in Scripture where Jesus leads us with anger. Now, he does get angry, but wrath was released on him so that you could be born again, so that you could be free, so that you could be set free. There's a warning to us here. Treat your families right, but it's not just your family. It's everybody. Treat everybody right. You say, can you talk more about that anger and having boundaries? Yes. If your neighbor comes over your house and you open the door and they slap you in the face, how would you respond to that? Oh, I would turn my other cheek. Sure. Sure you would. Now, if they come over again, I'm pretty sure you're going to be out of, you're going to be just beyond their reach. You'd be like, what do you need help with? I just want to slap you. Well, we don't do that. Can you, you know, you're not slapping me. Can you get off my property, please? I'll be praying for you. Hey, you need to come to Kings. You need deliverance. You got an anger problem. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to get, right? You don't just let anybody come and steal your stuff and run over you. You treat your family with honor. And the number one thing, if I could say it this way, to honor your father and mother, have a long life. Dishonor mom and dad, shorten your lifespan. Well, how do you honor a father that was abusive? How do you honor a mother that was abusive or abandoned you? I'll tell you how. You want to know? How many of you want to know how? You forgive them. You forgive them, which you're not going to have feelings of forgiveness right away. Now, there's a warning here. Prejudice breeds rejection. Prejudice breeds rejection. Rejection breeds jealousy and hatred. And when I say prejudice, there's this favoritism. So don't ever favor one child over the other. Don't favor one leader over another leader. Always, for all of you pastors and my friends that are watching, you know, I'm sure, but if you don't, you raise up multiple people. You don't just raise up one person, you raise up many. You be honorable and equitable between your two kids. You say, well, I'm not going to reward my kid for disobedience. I agree. I wouldn't reward him for disobedience either. But it's important to love them and to care for them, not to have favorites. Can you say yes? Rejection breeds hatred. You know, jealousy. Oh, and I, listen, I'm talking to you. I know about this. Should have you been jealous? Early on, I wanted to preach. I had such a burning fire in my heart to see revival, but I needed a lot of training, and I needed a lot of healing, and I didn't really know the word in a way that warranted me sharing in front of large crowds. I was a soul winner. I've always been that. But I would see these preachers and, man, like, I mean, just these, like, Jesus in shoe leather preachers. And I got healed relatively quick, but I would see them and be like, Jude, how come I can't preach like that? I can hardly remember my name. They would take like one verse and just blow the place up, and devils are flying out, and glory shooting out of everybody's face, and altars are filled, and people are saved, and cancers are running like scalded dogs. And I was like, how come I don't have any gifts? God, you gave all the gifts. I mean, I got so rebuked by the Lord. I mean, the Lord said, stop. I've anointed you. You will be the most anointed you that there is. Don't compare yourself to anybody. And I had a man-pleasing spirit. You know what that is? That is a painful way to go. It's gone now. Thank God. I just have a wife-pleasing spirit now. I please my wife. Amen. All men, you can pound sand. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. But come on, somebody say amen. But my wife holds my shut-up card. But together, we're unified. And she doesn't hold me back or try to make me a girl. Do you understand? Hello? Listen, if you're constantly cutting, I'm on somebody's last nerve right now, so let me just stomp on it for just a second. If you're constantly cutting the legs of your husband out, you need deliverance. You can make yourself an Ahab, and you will become Jezebel. Let's move on. Jealousy, not feeling the love once again. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, oh, God. Let me just talk to the men for a second. You don't always, don't give in always to your wife. It's like the Holy Spirit just felt like it left, but it actually was just the women getting offended. When you know that God spoke to you, you lovingly stand your ground. And I know that's men's conference stuff, but just have a little men's conference right there. Do I need to fix that, Pastor Karen? Are we good? Please grab a mic and set me free. It's right there. Turn that mic on right there. Come on, put your hands together for Pastor Karen. She's keeping me safe.
I believe that some people can use that as a way to control some unhealthy men.
Isn't she amazing?
And so you have to walk in agreement as much as possible, but I believe that men and women can.
Thank you.
Use that for control purposes. See, God told this, so you can stand on that. And then what are you supposed to say about that?
See, now you know why I called on her. Huh? Tarzan? God spoke to me. There's a mutual submission. How many of you want to learn the church handshake? Want to learn? Here, help me, son. Mr. Camera guy. Okay, here, your neighbor. Go ahead and take your neighbor. You know how to do this? All right. Here you go. Turn. You're on film. All right. You ready? Go to your neighbor. Try it. Ready? Boom. Okay. Try that. Try it. Come on. You can do it. Ready? Okay. Boom. Blow it up. You got that part? All right. It's three parts. Here's the third part. Ready? Boom. Blow it up. Baptize it. All right, try it again. You ready? Boom. Soak it. Yeah, come on. It's the second service. In your family dysfunction, God still has a plan for your life. God still has a plan for your life. God has a dream for you. Come on, say, God's got a dream for me.
God's got a dream for me.
Now, back to the marriage thing. If you're confused about all of that, just get into our marriage classes and we'll help you. Amen. God's got a dream for you. Say it to him. Say, God's got a dream for me. Come on, tell the Lord, thank you for the dream you have for me. Say, I'm going to live it. Yeah. I had no idea that I would be where I am in my life right now. And I have no idea, well, I have a small glimmer of what he's going to do in the future. But the scripture says he does exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even think. And in your family dysfunction, God still has a plan for you. God has a dream for you. Never give up hope on yourself. I've been there. That's a horrible thing. If you lose hope. I remember talking to Dr. Morocco. You'll love this. I remember talking to Dr. Morocco, and we were talking about preachers and teachers, and it's just, there's some that's so dry. I mean, it's so, like, the service is so dry. I mean, it feels like the wood is wet. I'm thinking, how can God do anything with that? Except I know his word goes forth and doesn't return void, so it feels dry or exciting, whatever. He's going to have his will, and God uses everybody. And I remember telling Doctor, how could you have, like that's, gosh, that's just, my gosh. How do you have revival? He says, well, Pastor Daniel, if people can receive hope when the pastor or the preacher's preaching, that will bring it. Good. If you lose hope, you're in trouble. But if you can receive hope, don't define yourself or others by your current situation. Don't do that. You might be hated in your family. You might have been young and immature. You might have shared things out of turn. You might feel like there's strife and envy, jealousy. If you're the one that's the vent, if you're venting that, you want to shut down your venting of that. You don't want to be a proponent of jealousy. But I've received it and I've given it, and I'm going to tell you something. Define yourself by God's word. Don't define yourself by how others see you, react to you. Define yourself and others by what God says in his word. Define yourself by God's word, by his dream. You know, we're living in a dream. This place is a dream. Where we are right now in this building is nothing but a total miracle. You know, jealousy, I'm going to go back there for just a second. The notes are fine. Just leave them. Jealousy is like the original spirit of Cain. Jealousy refuses to celebrate other people's anointing and excellence and blessing. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. But I refuse to even let it come to my mind. I treat it like it's a demonic thought. If God blesses you above and beyond, I pray your ministry far exceeds anything we've ever done here. I pray that your business far exceeds any other business in the world. I pray that God blesses you so big and so vast and so deep and so wide, and I will champion you and celebrate you. You know what I've found? I've found now that I'm almost 59, God has already done it for me, and I'm in the midst of it, and it's just amazing. What moves my wife and I more than anything else is being a dream facilitator, opening doors for people and letting them just soar and fulfill their purpose and destiny. That is why we're here. God has a purpose for you. You know what Kings does? What we endeavor to do, what we hope to do, what we pray to do is to release you into the dream. To release you into the purpose that God has for you. A divine assignment. Put your trust in God and live the dream. Over these next weeks, you'll receive impartation from God's word by the power of the Holy Ghost that'll empower you to live the dream. Live your dream. I don't care if you're 70 or 80 and you just started, or if you're just hearing me for the first time and you're a youth or you're online or whatever your age is, God will take you and use you as a trophy of his grace. Don't worry about those who don't like you. Don't worry about those that are jealous over you. I've had a target on my back with that for many, many years. I got free from people's opinion. I don't care. I do care about what God thinks about me. I do care about that. I do care about fulfilling his plan, fulfilling his purpose. You're always going to have people that don't like you. Don't do it for the audience. Don't do it for the likers. Do it for the one. Do it for the one who's worthy. Do it for the one who's able. Do it for the one who laid down his life and rose again from the grave for you. Do it for him. Live for him. An audience of one when you worship. Worship unto the King of Kings. It's not about people. On one hand, on the other hand, it is about people and reaching them and seeing them set free and seeing them delivered. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Oh, God. Jealousy sought to destroy Joseph, which we'll find. But God used it as a delivery system for destiny. And what you have been through is put you on a delivery system if you'll respond right. Chaplain White, you have a Joseph story and you're on the delivery system from heaven. Not many days from now, he's going to release a tremendous elevation. You're going to walk humbly with it. He's going to bless you, sir. He's going to use you. It's not so much about you. You're caught up in a divine destiny and purpose. You've passed the tests over these many years. You are a Joseph. And God is going to bless you, and you're going to have a wisdom that someone else does not have. And I'll elevate you, and I'll raise you up, and I'll use you, even in the highest offices of the land. For such a time as this, I've called you. And there will be those that are not so excited. And there'll be those that look down their nose or think you're looking down your nose at them. But you've been broken in many, many pieces. You and your wife. So that he can now pass you out and bless thousands of people. It's the season you're in. The season will come to a close, and that'll be tremendous elevation. You're ready. What a great word. Lift your hands to heaven. I pray for every family that's struggling under the burden of dysfunction and sin, bondage. Come on, if that's you, just join your heart with mine. I'm going to pray for you to be set free and for your family to be healed. Oh, my. Before I pray, I want to say this. This God is my witness. Every single family I know that came into this house, that came and served over the almost 30 years now that we've been in the church, every family I know that took like the message I just preached to you, and they put their hand to the plow, and they grew in God, and they confronted things, and they prayed and they served and didn't leave. I don't mean God moves people around. I mean, they stayed in covenant with God and covenant with people. Every family I know, all of them are healed. And over time, sometimes it's 20 years, sometimes it's 30, everyone gets saved in the family. Everyone. So how is that? I think we could go back to Deuteronomy 28 again. If you diligently hearken his voice, obey his word, you'll be blessed. Your family will be blessed. So you might have been baptized in dysfunction, but God can set you free and God can heal your family. I'm fruit of that. Brackens are fruit of that. My wife's family's fruit of that. God's able to do it for you. I pray now, come on, receive this. I pray now and decree the brokenness of families to be severed and healed. The curse to be broken. You'd raise up a people healed and whole, rightly representing you, families that treat each other right, that honor each other, respect each other. There's not favoritism in craziness and anger problems and greed and perversion. Lord, heal marriages, heal families. Heal whole families. He's being healed. I am healing him. I am visiting him in his dreams. Your prayers have worked, and the wall that has broken down in fear is being broken off, and I'm visiting him. Specific word for somebody, but if it hit you, then it's yours too. I'm healing her. I'm setting her free from her control and anger and manipulation and sensuality, trying to control things. I'm setting her free. I'm causing a people to rise, washed in the blood, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm healing whole families. And I am bringing, says the Lord, a restoration to the call of God. A restoration to fulfillment of the dream. I invite you, says the Lord, to live the dream. Live the dream that he's got for you before the beginnings of the foundations of the world. Live the dream. Purpose to do it. In Jesus' name. When I was a young man, theologically, I leaned towards the free will of man. That's regarding the age-old argument of the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. You have a free will, and yet God is sovereign. How does that work? Big theological discussion there. When I was a young man, I yielded more to the fact that I'm gonna will it. I'm gonna will to do the will of God. I'm gonna hammer that thing out. It filled me full of grit. Filled me full of zeal, filled me full of passion, and I'm gonna make it happen. I will run through that wall, or I will jump over it. So help me God by the power that works so mightily on the inside of me. But I cannot deny that over all these years now, I look back and I see God's incredible sovereign plan weaving this tapestry of fulfillment, family fulfillment, and destiny and purpose that I in no way could have orchestrated. There's no way. I see the hand of God as I've gotten older now. I'm not old. I'm older. I see the sovereignty of God just weaving in my life. He chose you anyway. He chose me anyway. Come on, say it. Come on, say he chose me. Anyway. No matter what you come from, no matter where you've come out of, long line of whatever, but you get something from God. Put your hands together for the King. Thank you, Lord. Come on, thank him. Thank you for the dream. I am living the dream. Say it with me. I am living the dream. Say it again. I am living the... How you doing? I'm living the... Begin to say it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.